Welcome to the third coaching support session for your five-day carb cleanse. I'm Deb Kern, and Karen Wolf is here with me.
Hello there.
Hello there. And today, we are focusing on what to do after the five-day program you've been on and help you really plan for success. So just to be clear, the five-day carb cleanse is really a means to an end. It's a time in which you really devote close attention to monitoring your meals, getting the timing just right, and by doing so, by being that careful in your monitoring, it gets you to a point where carb cravings are no longer running your life. And so this is a really special time, this moment where you are finally at a place where your chemistries are settled down and you can now make choices a lot easier than you could 5 days ago. It'll be a lot easier for you to choose the foods that will keep your blood sugar stable. But just because it'll be easier for you to make those choices doesn't mean that they will automatically just happen. Karen and I talk about this all the time. And what we really believe our number one message at this point in your transformation is plan ahead. Planning ahead is really the biggest difference between success and failure. I know Karen mentioned in the last session that by choosing to live a lifestyle that's low glycemic and healthy, is you are really going against a strong current in our culture, the current of fast food and foods that have lots of preservatives and are processed, highly processed, which makes them, by nature, high glycemic. And when you choose to do something that's so counterculture, the second piece that will be the biggest part of your success is to get a buddy, especially in the beginning. Karen and I worked together as buddies as we made this transition ourselves, and it is a very powerful and effective way to move yourself ahead. I know that the image that I have is if you've ever walked out into the ocean where the waves are hitting the shore really strong and you're trying to make it past that first break so you can go swimming, but every time you try to move out, the wave knocks you over. But if you have someone with you and you can walk out together holding hands, I find it so much easier to get past that first breaking wave into the calmer waters where you can swim. It's a lot like that. You're just at that point where the waves break when you are making the shift to eating a low glycemic lifestyle. And to have a buddy with you helps you get past that strong current or that strong wave coming right at you. So on this call, we won't be spending time talking about how to work with your buddy because we've written a really powerful and time-tested, by the way, hundreds, probably at this point, actually thousands of people have worked with this system that Karen and I created, and it's a buddy system, and it's in your ebook. So we put it there. It's not just an afterthought. That is a very important part of the ebook that we've given you, and please work with it because throughout our years of supporting people, that has been key. The other thing throughout our years that we've noticed is that the biggest questions come about meal planning. And so that's what we're devoting the rest of this session to, really, is how do you plan? If planning is so important, what exactly are we planning for? So, Karen, will you kick us off?
You bet, and I love that metaphor. Oh, standing at the ocean and holding hands as your buddy to help you through something that's going to be pretty rough going. And even now, I think about now years into this low glycemic lifestyle, I still call you, and occasionally we might slip, or I might slip, and I might think, I just need that extra support. So
we both,
that buddy,
absolutely,
yeah.
We both do. And I want everyone to know that we, it's because your chemistry, if you're doing this carb cleanse, probably you are someone whose chemistry is sensitive to simple carbohydrates and sugars. And you heard on the last session that stress will start to shut down sometimes your own production of serotonin and beta endorphin. So any one of us can easily, under periods of stress, slip back, and that's when that buddy is so helpful. It's so helpful. I'll call Karen and say, I can tell something's up because I can't leave the kitchen cabinet. I keep going in there just looking, and I know that something's really up, and we can work with it. So
right,
but,
just
yeah.
About a week ago, you had said you had this, noticed extra stress in your life and
yep.
noticed the sugar cravings have come up a bit.
Yep.
And just like we said in the last coaching session, the stress will deplete our serotonin. So we're constantly reevaluating and reevaluating, and that's one of the reasons it's good to re-listen to these calls too, to be able to remember the key features. So, yeah, thank you for that beautiful metaphor.
Mm.
So in terms of meal planning, and yes, we probably get more questions about this than anything, and it's interesting that Deb and I would be talking about this because we, disclaimer, we are not chefs or cooks, or this is not our love or passion to do recipes and cook, but it is our passion to eat as healthy as possible and prepare meals for our family as healthy as possible. So one of the great resources that we're just going to tell you right out that you just have to get is a book called Low Glycemic Meals in Minutes. It's written in your ebook, and it's written by Laura Kalina and Cheryl Christian. You can get this at the website releasingfat.com, which we've spoken about before. This is a self-published cookbook from two patients of Dr. Ray Strand, who both of these women did the program that we've been talking about, and they went on to create really healthy lives. And one happens to be an RD, and one is a personal trainer. So they put their skills together and created this amazing, simple book that doesn't just have recipes, but it has stocking your pantry, and it has snack ideas for even the phase one and phase two that we have spoken about. So it is a huge resource, and some of the recipes are with shakes because it's good to mix it up and create variety, but most of them are with food. And these are two very busy working women with families, and they do a really good job to help you plan ahead. So that is our very first piece of advice. Get this book. And what we thought we'd do is Deb and I just share with you some of the key things we do in our lives to help us plan ahead. So being the totally untrained cook that I am, in fact, I spent so much time in a swimming pool and then studying in medical school, I don't know what happened, but I must have completely missed any training from my mom about cooking at all. So it's been something that I've just had to figure out as I go along. But what I do is I use chicken a lot as a protein base, and I would grill it or broil it ahead of time and keep it in the fridge so then I can add things. So one quick meal that I like is having that broiled chicken already made. I then make a pan of vegetables. One of the things I do like is to grill vegetables. So I get a pan, extra virgin olive oil spray, and I love my garlic, crushed garlic, and I just heat that up a little bit. And then I'll get grilled onions, and then I'll put zucchinis and that yellow squash, an eggplant, and I'll put some salsa as a nice little addition to that. And then put the chicken in, and bingo, I have a meal. And then, of course, I'm famous for my salad. So I'm very proud of my salad skills. It's the thing, I guess some people make amazing cakes. I make amazing salads, and I do get special requests, I might say, for my salads. Yes, I do. And Karen will bring her salad. It's like the afterthought of if we're going to someone's house. So, of course, a lovely leafy green greens as green as possible, and I sometimes mix it up and do spinach instead of, or mix it up spinach and organic leafy greens. And I just wash that, of course, and then I put all kinds of things. And again, I like it simple. So I buy the carrot already grated in a little baggie, and I buy the coleslaw mix, the ones already chopped up, ready to put the mayonnaise, but of course I don't use the mayonnaise. I use that coleslaw mix, and I put it in my salad. And then I get the cucumber and chop it up, a little cherry tomatoes, which just are sweet and delicious. I get bean sprouts. And in fact, sometimes I'm making this, and I realize, wow, this bowl is not big enough. I got to get a bigger bowl because it's so big in volume. And I do like the low-fat feta cheese. It's called light feta, or sometimes I use the goat cheese. And then I buy the almonds already slithered and in a little bag, and I like to put that. So I've got my protein. I've got my almonds and the cheese. And so if I go somewhere and take my salad and there's nothing else that really matches what my low glycemic needs are, then I might just have the salad, and it's still a really good meal. And then I do my balsamic vinegar and extra virgin olive oil, a little garlic dressing, and I've got this huge, big, delicious salad. Sometimes, just this last weekend, I made one, and I put some black beans in it, so I added a little more protein, and the black beans were really delicious, so I mix it up. So what I never have, and here's my bottom line secret, if you like, is I never have bread, rice, potatoes, or pasta. So in some ways, I had a friend that's gluten-free that came over the other day, and she could have my salad because she asked me, are there croutons or is there any pasta? I said, no. So all of those things she could have. So in a way, this low-glycemic lifestyle is kind of similar to if someone is gluten-free, and except they, and I was going to say except they have to. Well, in some ways, I'm at that place where metabolically I have to eat this way to feel as good as I desire to feel. So it really has come down to that. I feel great when I eat this way. So that's some of my little secrets. And I guess another one I might say is for a taco. So I live in Southern California, so the Mexican thing is everywhere. And I get the ground turkey meat, and I brown that and drain it. So even the 97% lean turkey meat still has to be drained, still has a little fat in there. And then I use the Mrs. Dash Mexican spice, because some of those taco packets that you buy have loaded with preservatives and salt. So, and I just find the Mrs. Dash, the salt-free one, is just as tasty. And then I chop up tomato and cucumber for the little condiments that you put on taco. And I have Greek yogurt instead of sour cream. And here's the key. For the tortillas, I use the lettuce leaf. The, what are they called, the big ones that aren't very... No. Well, you could. I haven't used those romaine. But the iceberg.
Oh.
The only time I use iceberg lettuce is for that, the taco shell. But I could use the romaine. That's right. They have pretty big leaves that you could wrap around. So that's kind of a way that I create tacos, and all those things are really healthy and low glycemic.
Yum. You know, I do the same thing with the turkey, and I use the Greek yogurt, but I make a big salad, the same kind of salad you make, and I just put the taco meat on top of it in dollops and then put salsa as the dressing. And that's
Like a taco salad.
It's like a taco salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We just...
You know, I think, too, and that's really yummy, and I love the fact that I can make an actual taco that people know is taco, and then they
like
add
that.
Things.
Like
people like to add things in their tacos. It's kind of the thing to do is to add, but usually it's sour cream, and it's the cut-up cheese and guacamole, and you could still use guacamole. You could get avocado, and yeah.
Absolutely. Yum. Well, I mean, like Karen said, neither one of us. I didn't learn to cook growing up either. My head was in the books. My sister and my brother loved cooking, and somehow I slid by without ever entering the kitchen. And so for me too, things have to be simple. And people tell us that actually makes it more fun to learn from us because we don't make it complicated. So I would love to share with you how one of my goals was to get kids to eat a lot of vegetables. And I just discovered this by accident, by playing around in the kitchen. And I'll tell you, when I make things, I don't measure everything. And so I'm just going to apologize right now. I don't know how many cups exactly of anything, but I'll tell you how I figure it out. I cook in an enormous wok that's so big that it can make a big volume. And I start with a little olive oil and saute garlic and onion. I start pretty much everything that way. That's how I'm starting. And then I put that to the side, and I use a food processor and put the big blade at the bottom of it, and I food process a whole head of cauliflower, and I mean it chops it up into tiny bits, almost like grains of sand, a little bit bigger than sand, but very tiny bits, indistinguishable what that is by the time it's that small. I dump that in with the sauteed onion and garlic, and then I put, usually for one head of cauliflower, I'll do two zucchini, two yellow squash, and six large carrots. and I'll put them all in the food processor and make them to teeny, teeny bits and saute all of that. Just keep stirring it around in there with the onion and garlic for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then that I use that as a base for either a Mexican dish or an Italian dish. So the next steps would depend on what I'm going to make. I like to make an enchilada. I call them veggie enchiladas, and I start with, this would be a base. I would add to that then a big bag of frozen corn and two cans of black beans. I would drain the black beans and put that in. I dump all that in there together, and then I buy salsa, so picante sauce or salsa, and I get a big jugs of it at this point. I go to Costco, so it's a big jug of whatever they have there, and I start dumping in salsa until it's the right consistency. That's what I mean by I don't measure. And by consistency, it depends on what you want to do with it. But so I want it wet enough to be able to go inside of an enchilada. And so I do all of that. I add cumin, C-U-M-I-N. I add a lot of it. I'm a Texan, so I like a lot of cumin. I can't tell you how much because I add probably, for all of this, I bet you I put 3 full tablespoons.
And, woo!
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of vegetables, though.
That's hot.
Yeah, but you might want to put less, right? So, I just add to taste and stir it and taste it. And then what I do is Karen turned me on to finding low-glycemic tortillas, the flat kind. And so you can get those at the store. Look for them in our regular grocery stores have them now. And I put usually they're big, so I put about a cup of that mix in there. I roll them up, and I line them up inside of a baking pan, like a big cake pan. I line them all up in there. I sprinkle a little bit of grated cheese on top, and then I bake them for about 15 minutes so that grated cheese melts down. It is so delicious. Nobody can guess what the vegetables are. Nobody. Because it just tastes like Mexican food. They can see the beans. They can see the corn. And then they can't quite tell what else is in there. And children, everyone eats them. I've served that for company. I think the funniest thing is to have people guess what the vegetables are. I've had grown men almost gag when they realize they've eaten cauliflower because they don't like cauliflower. But you can't taste it, and that's the point. I use that same base where I do olive oil, garlic, onion, saute first, do the cauliflower, zucchini, squash, and carrots, just like I just said, teeny tiny bits, and get that started. And then I will do like Karen said, I'll brown a couple of pounds of turkey meat, ground turkey, drain it, rinse it, and put that in with the mixture as well. And then I will buy organic spaghetti sauce. And for this amount that I'm saying, a whole head of cauliflower, 2 zucchini, 2 squash, 6 carrots, and 2 pounds of meat, I believe I used probably 5 quarts of store-bought spaghetti sauce to make it liquidly enough. And I cook all that. I usually add a little bit more basil because I love basil, maybe a little bit more oregano, and let it cook. And then I use that as a sauce. And then instead of spaghetti, I use spaghetti squash, which is that big yellow squash. Looks a little bit like a football, but without sharp ends. It's about that size. And I think, Karen, you have a different way of cooking yours. How I cook mine is I cut them in half lengthwise, which is you take a big butcher knife because they're kind of hard, mm-hmm. and I scoop out the seeds, and I put them upside down on a cookie sheet.
Yeah, that's
sheet.
How I do it. Yeah.
Oh, is that how you do it? Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. Put them upside down on a cookie sheet. I usually put a tiny bit of water on the cookie sheet pan, although you don't have to, and then I just bake it at 350 until I can get a fork to go in through the hard shell. Then it's done. And when you pull it out, you just take a fork and scrape lengthwise, and spaghetti-like strands just start pouring out of there. And you have something that looks like spaghetti, but it's a squash, and it's very low glycemic. So I serve that spaghetti squash with the spaghetti sauce on top. And, again, regular Texan kids will eat that and get huge amounts of vegetables and a good protein source, and it's a low glycemic meal. So That's my contribution too.
This is so fun. It's like a cooking show. Never thought we'd be doing a cooking show.
I didn't either. It's really quite funny. It's quite funny.
So one of the things, too, again, in being prepared, is to have a shopping list. So there is a really great shopping list in this book that we're recommending, Low Glycemic Meals in Minutes. And I'm just going to point out some of the things that I do to have in my pantry so that we have things on hand to be able to make these creative, delicious, low glycemic meals. You've heard us talk about black beans. So I have cans of black beans or kidney beans or pinto beans, whatever your favorite is, the slow-cooked oatmeal. The slow-cooked oatmeal is low-glycemic, not the instant oatmeal. And when you do actually get to work with grains, quinoa is a great grain, Q-U-I-N-O-A, has protein. It's one of the few grains that actually have protein in it. And then, of course, always have your shakes available. You always want to have a supply of your shakes on hand. Don't get too low because then you might be looking for one and, oops, you forgot to order them. So always have them on hand. And cans of tuna or cans of salmon, of course, always in the water-based. And they're really good as a protein base when maybe I haven't made up my chicken and I'm just looking for a protein. I always have the little cherry tomatoes. I have them as snacks if I want something a little sweet maybe, but just that kind of consistency. They're really good snacks. I always have mushrooms and onions because I love that kind of mixture and zucchinis to grill up if I'm feeling like that. I try and have a spaghetti squash always at hand. In fact, I know I have one right now just waiting to be baked. I think with all this discussion, that's going to come up right next. I'm hungry. And then spices. We want things to taste good. The last thing we want is for you to think that low glycemic has to be also low taste. And the Mrs. Dash salt-free spices come in all kinds of flavored. I talked about the taco spice that you can get. But you can also get an Italian spice, so that if you're making a spaghetti sauce, you want it to have that kind of herb texture that you like in spaghetti sauce, then you get that seasoning. You always want to have a curry at hand, because curry can be that nice little flavor that you just feel like you want to have a curry kind of taste. And then I always have balsamic vinegar, of course, lemon juice, and the extra virgin olive oil, always, and my almonds. One of the things I like to travel with is my 100-pack almonds, and the reason I get the 100-calorie pack is that it's portion-controlled already for me, especially when I'm traveling and I may not be ready to think about how many almonds in is okay, because I could go to town with nuts. I really like nuts, and before you know it, you don't know how many you've had because I just keep eating them. And then the spray, the extra virgin olive oil spray to use with cooking. I always have that available. And I don't actually add any sweetener. I'm fortunate that I've never really grew up with added sweetener, but I know some people that's a big issue. So you always want to have stevia on hand as your sweetener of choice if that is something that you need to have that sweetener. And one little resource also that we will point out from the ebook, a lot of people ask about glycemic index of foods and how do I find out. The website we recommend is glycemicindex.com, glycemicindex.com. It happens to be a website from the University of Sydney where I went in Australia, and a very reputable resource if you want to start exploring the GI of different foods.
I just want to say one thing about stevia. I've always been in search of the perfect stevia because I do like sweeteners, and I know that I know that the body recognizes it as sweet and sometimes responds as such. So I don't like to overdo it. But there are times I would feel deprived if I didn't have a sweetener, and I love taking, for instance, Greek yogurt. I'll get a non-fat Greek yogurt and just put a little stevia in there, just so it has a sweet to it. I want to tell you that Sweet Leaf is a brand, and they make a liquid stevia. It's in a kind of a brown dropper bottle, and they have a fairly new line of stevias that are flavored. So there's a Valencia orange-flavored stevia, a chocolate-flavored stevia, and a vanilla cream-flavored stevia. Mm. And let me tell you, that is some kind of delicious. So
they'd be great in the yogurt.
Oh, listen, it's so good. And sometimes I like making green smoothies with my Vitamix. So I'll put 3 cups of water, a couple of handfuls of kale or spinach, and some lemon juice and a green apple and some Valencia orange flavored stevia. And my 13-year-old son actually loves that. I know it sounds gross because I'm saying kale and stuff, but when it blends all up in there and with that little bit of sweet, it's just delicious. So I just wanted to say that I can highly recommend that. And my husband loves coffee, and he puts a couple of drops of the chocolate-flavored stevia in his coffee for a special treat, and it's like a dessert. So that's helpful.
Wow.
It's helpful. Yeah, that's why, we just have to share what we know, and these are the things we know. So one other thing, Karen, I want to really make sure we highlight for you is this concept of the buddy system. I know I mentioned it at the top of this session with you, but to just come back to it, all of this information that we're talking about does not make behavior change. In order to change your behavior, it takes a lot of commitment, and I really would suggest you really need a partner, because with a partner, you can really do anything. What's so good, when you look at the buddy system, and we have a friendship script in your ebook for you, what's so wonderful is that your friend or your buddy can help you think things through. I'm sure we've all done this, where we say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, X, Y, Z. But we hadn't even thought about the fact that tomorrow that our kids were expecting us to do one thing, or we hadn't thought about tomorrow we also needed to, get the car serviced. We hadn't really thought it through. And so having a buddy helps you really think things through. Your buddy's job is not to solve it for you. Their job really is to help you think it through. What's coming up this week? How will you have healthy food available for you? And especially when you have special events. So I just wanted to put that plug in to really get you to look seriously at using the buddy script and getting with somebody to work with you on that. Would you add anything?
Yeah, I know for sure, Deb. I know for sure I would not have been able to do this without, we were each other's buddies, so we helped each other through this, and I just don't think I could have done it without really having a buddy. That also, in that buddy, it's not like you have to be perfect, and there are times when we wish we were. I wish I was more perfect, but sometimes just admitting, look at what I did, and having that buddy to help you get back on track, to remind you, okay, you can do this, kind of like a cheerleader. And the reason we like the word buddy, too, is it's similar to the coaching model, where your buddy doesn't have to be the expert. It's someone that can ask you questions to help reaffirm what you're doing, help remind you of what your ultimate goal is, and just be there as a friend that empowers you. And it's a very important part of the process, especially when life is so busy. And it's so easy to go unconscious. Let's just say that.
Right.
Life, so much stuff going on in life for everybody. And in terms of food, that tends to get pushed to the back end, and people just grab and go. And to be as healthy as possible and to stay consistent with this program, you can't go unconscious. You have to plan ahead and have a buddy to be there when you just want to talk about maybe working towards traveling. And that's another question we get asked a lot is, when I'm traveling, what can I do? And I know I work a lot with people in planning ahead for that travel. And we wanted to give you some of those suggestions when you're on the road. Of course, the shakes and the bars are fabulous to take on the road with you. They make a really good handy snack or meal when you're at airports. And it might be helpful for us to just talk about when we travel, what we do. I know, Deb,
I do. I like you. I prepare things and have them with me on the plane. But also, when I get to hotel rooms, I love room service. I don't know about you all, but there's something about that. I just love having room service, and I don't even look at the room service menu. And I do this in restaurants as well. I often won't even look at the menu. I'll just ask, what is your protein? What kind of fish do you have? What kind of, or do you have a chicken? chicken breast, so I'm looking for the protein source, and then I'll ask, what is the vegetable for the day? And if I call room service, that sometimes I just like 20 questions. I'll say, what's the vegetable of the day? And then what I'll ask for is a plate filled with the vegetable and one serving of the protein. And sometimes they don't know how to do that. And I say, I know it's not on your menu exactly like that, but if you could just figure a price for me, what would that be, you know, sort of two servings of vegetables of your normal servings and then a piece of the fish grilled, please, or the chicken. And they've always been able to do that, always.
Right.
They've always been able. Just takes asking a little questions and really sticking to what your desire is, which is you really want those vegetables. And a lot of places, vegetables are just a garnish. So you really have to tell them you want a plateful. That's my biggest trick.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see their reaction, too, when you go off the menu. Some people just, either they've never been asked before,
right,
or they just don't know how to do this out-of-the-box kind of creative idea, even something as simple as grilled vegetables. You get the weirdest, strangest looks from people.
Yeah.
And on a plane, I find that's, for me, a key, since I live on the West Coast, and I might be traveling on the East Coast, which is quite some hours, I always plan ahead. So my little 100-calorie raw almond packs are fabulous, and then the night before I go, I cut up some veggies and put them in little baggies. So I do the jicama, and red bell peppers are really good, all cut up, and little bags of the baby carrots. They're really good to have, and also the bars, which are fabulous. And then I get my chocolate, which I feel, okay, everything's good if I get my chocolate, and really think ahead. And then really in restaurants, at airports, there's always the salad. I put the dressing on the side. No croutons. You've got to really be specific about what you want. But you can, when you know how to plan this low glycemic and the basis of it, protein and salad or vegetables, you just order, not usually on the menu, you order off the menu, and just be real specific about what you want. So we have lots of these kinds of resources in the ebook. So we're going to refer back to the ebook. And what we want to just finish up now with some really specific action steps, because we want you to be able to now step into this low glycemic lifestyle with some action. And of course, your ebook has all the resources you need to keep exploring what this means, this low glycemic lifestyle, which, as we have said, also is a low inflammatory lifestyle, which is good for your health in so many ways. And we've said it before, we'll say it again, work with a buddy and set doable action steps with your buddy, and have your buddy be kind of your accountability partner and your partner in believing that this really is possible for you.
Yes, absolutely. And the third thing you can do is listen to these recordings that we've sent to you. You might hear something new. Even if you're not doing the 5-day carb cleanse again, even just going back and listening, particularly to the second coaching call where we speak about emotions and food, it's really important to listen and feel the support of that again and again as you move through your life. And the last thing we want to leave you with is that we've mentioned it, we've alluded to it already, is that whenever you go through a stressful period, chances are you might slip back into some old lifestyle habits, particularly if you have used sugars or simple carbohydrates as a way to mediate the pain of stress, which many of us do. If that happens to you, you can do a 5-day carb cleanse again, say, you know, a year later, or half, 6 months later. In fact, when you look at traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine from India, these original medical systems use seasonal cleanses because everyone gets out of balance. So seasonally, they will use a cleanse just to keep the body in balance. So you always have that tool as something to help get you back in balance, help tweak your lifestyle if you need it. So you have all the tools here to really step forward, and we wish you all the success with your new low glycemic lifestyle.
We sure do. Thanks, Deb.
It's been a pleasure. we, Karen and I, both love working together. You can probably tell. And so you've got both of us wishing you well.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.